Hey everyone, it is Eliza D, and welcome to How to Save the Planet, a podcast where I, your host, interview people who have a job about climate change or are making a difference in the field. Today, I'm talking to Helen O'Brien, and here's a little bit about her. So Helen O'Brien lives on a small farm in the Southern Gulf Islands where she grows organic fruit and vegetables, stewards 40 acres of land, and provides a home for two horses, one donkey, and most recently, two dwarf Nigerian goats. Before coming to the island 23 years ago, Helen directed the Vancouver Storytelling Festival, which she co-founded in 1991. In Helen's almost 20 years with the Conservancy, she has held the positions of chair, program director, and since 2016, fundraising chair. Now, please enjoy a conversation with Helen O'Brien. Hello and welcome, Helen, to How to Save the Planet.
Thank you for inviting me, Eliza.
Yes, thank you for coming here. So could you tell me a bit more about where you volunteer and the history of the Main Island Conservancy?
I can. There are some other organizations on this island, little island in the Gulf Islands of Canada, but that I volunteer for, but I have been with the Main Island Conservancy for almost 20 years. I was a founding member and have been a director ever since. And I can tell you a little bit about how it got going, which we originally were a group of five or six people trying to acquire a piece of land that would complete an already existing regional park. And we called ourselves Friends of Mount Park. And we worked pretty hard on doing that and successfully raised the money. And then the owner changed his mind on how he was going to deal with it. So we were not successful with our first attempt. But because we had been out in the community and talking to people and we felt starting to make a bit of a difference in awareness, we decided we would change its name to the Main Island Conservancy and continue on. Here we are almost 20 years later.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool.
And I will add that just within the last year, that piece of land has been acquired and we made by our regional government, which is great. The landowner finally came through and the Conservancy was able to make a sizable contribution to that without having to go to the community.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What inspired you to get involved in the first place with Friends of Mount Park and then what became the Main Island Conservancy?
Well, because I think that these islands are pretty special, and the land, there's less land available for protection, and unless we continue to protect land, it's just going to get eaten up by development or resource industry, whatever. And what you're doing and the people you're talking to, we all know how important it is to protect land for a whole variety of reasons, whether it's for recreation, whether it's for carbon sequestration, whether it's for animal habitat, whatever. It's really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In your experience as an organizer, what does it take to have a community come together to take care of the environment and protect these?
Well, that's a good question. I think, first of all, having an issue to deal with, and we did, and this piece of land we started out with, oh, here's my dog, it was a place that many people who went hiking on the island knew, and what they didn't know that they were hiking a lot of the time on what was private land. So that was a moment of awareness for them. And people just loved it and that area and came on board to support what we were trying to do.
That's really mm-hmm. cool. You had such strong support from this.
Yeah, we had really good support. We're only a population of a little over 1,000. And of course, not everybody supports it, but yeah. You can't convert everybody or convince everybody. Mm-hmm.
But you can protect the special.
But you can, yeah.
Do you have any, shall I say, teamwork tips?
Teamwork tips. I think in getting things done, making it fun, making it a little bit social. You get some pretty good hard work out of people. If you just ask somebody to do a job, if they're not inclined or only semi-inclined, they're not going to necessarily do a great job. But if you're going to go to them as a group, and we do various activities in restoration, et cetera, that we always get anywhere from 2 to 8 people out. And there's always a bit of a muffin at the end and some good laughs. And you get to know people that you might not otherwise cross paths with in the community.
Nice. It sounds like you all do a good job of like socializing and also protecting together.
Well, I think as human beings, we all need that too. We need to, and you look at various movements and groups that have are doing really great work, and there's usually, yeah, an element of congeniality around it, yeah.
Yeah. What does climate justice or environmental justice mean to you?
It's a good question. I was thinking about this and I thought, it's really sort of climate injustice, isn't it? But it's that we focus on. I think that we're in a time where a whole lot of things are pointing to the inequalities in our society. And I think there's nothing like what is happening in this climate crisis that's pointing out some of those inequalities in a very, very serious and marked effort. And so it's bringing together for me the environmental, the ecological, the political, and trying to reach a better equality for all. And, you know, examples here in Canada in particular, a lot of them focus, unfortunately, I think, on Indigenous communities, where they've been marginalized to some pretty less than desirable land, with sea levels rising, especially up in the far north. Some of their communities are being flooded out. Then we've got other places where big resource developments are happening, such as we have a big dam, hydropower dam that's being built, very controversial. We're still trying to stop it, but it means that a huge productive valley is going to be flooded, and it's Indigenous land. There are non-Indigenous farmers there, but they will be wiped out. The Indigenous land is sacred to these people, but no heed is being given to that. It's hunting and harvesting territories for them. No heed being given to that. We in British Columbia have supposedly adopted the UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People. We supposedly have adopted it, but we're not putting it into action because they're not being consulted. And most of our resource extraction is on Indigenous lands. So those are some of my thoughts around climate justice. The fires we've been having in Washington, in BC, in California, elsewhere, the flooding. I mean, those are affecting not people who are not marginalized. But they are definitely a result of the climate, a warming.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fracking going on in BC, less I hope now, but there has been, and it's compromising water health. And are there even stories of some people turning on their kitchen taps and it flaming out, you know? So it's things like that. And it's so many of the indigenous communities should have clean water, but there are some that have, there's some in this current generation have never known having clean water on their reserve and in their community. And it just shouldn't be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems as climate change is calling the hardest. On a little bit of a different topic, what has been one of your like favorite activities or events that the Main Island Conservancy has put on?
Well, we recently, 2 years ago, had our first opportunity for a big land acquisition, a property that we came to us with only a little over 12 months to raise around $4 million. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty exciting to have the community come together. And we did get funding from the regional government and from some foundations and corporations, but the community itself really came to the fore to help raise half that amount. So that was pretty darn exciting.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful piece of land. If you ever get up here to visit, we'll take you on a good long hike.
Oh yeah, I can't wait that day when I get to take out up to the Main Island. What advice would you give to folks who want to get involved in their own groups or communities?
Well, to look around and see what's available, ask yourself what you are really, what you're passionate about or just interested in. Go and find something and give it a try. It may work for you, it may not. If you have a real urge, a real something that's very important to you and nothing exists in your community, hey, get another one or two people together that are like minds and see what you can get going. You don't know unless you try. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that. You don't know unless you try.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing I really learned in fundraising because I headed that campaign was you'll never get anything unless you ask. So it, same thing, gotta try. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to How to Save the Planet, Helen. I had a great time talking with you.
Well, I wish I had ideas on how to save the planet. I think the planet's gonna be fine. I think that those of us who live on the planet may not be the human species, but I'm sorry to say that's not a very hopeful thing, is it? But the planet has been around a long time and it will survive.
Might not be in the shape that it was before we came here, but
no,
it'll still be.
It'll in one shape or another, it'll survive. Yeah.
Well, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to How to Save the Planet so you don't miss out on any new episodes. See you next time.